T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks to Jeff Sullivan, Daniel Wallach, and Joe Madden for joining us today. Kevbo and Joe O had the updates. Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, Ray Diaz, Brian Gertsch helped out, as they do. Tomorrow, Mike Florio. He's had some strong thoughts as both a football reporter and a lawyer regarding the gambling law relaxation. So we'll talk about that and a lot of other. You also noted,
yeah, there's
too,
a little news about that helmet rule that wasn't written but was, and nobody knew what was going on. But apparently that's been relaxed a little bit some. Fears assuaged.
Len Casper's regular hit and more tomorrow. And that man in front of me is Danny Parkins, and only Danny Parkins. Hello.
Hello, yes. Dan McNeil got all of his celebrating out of the way yesterday for the legalization of gambling in sports, and then he decided to take a recovery day. No, Mac had a previously scheduled doctor's thing this morning for his paralyzed vocal cord.
Right.
He did not need to get the collagen injection, which knocked him out for 4 or 5 days of recovery last time. But there was some sort of spray that needed to be administered.
Oh, okay.
I'm not too familiar.
Not that emitted from, needed to be given to.
Correct.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. That's better.
Right. It's not like a fissure in the side of a volcano.
You never know.
A fissure is open and it is emitting sulfur dioxide, and people must be moved from
Stay
the area.
Away.
Spray was coming in, not going out, and they said the recovery time will be expedited if you rest. So 5 hours of speaking is not rest for the vocal cords. So Dan McNeil will be back tomorrow. So this is just one day.
So
you have to deal with me.
For those watching on the live stream, if you look over Danny Parkin's shoulder, you'll see the big number 7 on the whiteboard. Are we still at 7 then?
Back to 0.
What did we hit? Did we eclipse?
No, not even close.
We didn't get to 7.
No, I was, well, even
I
though
I thought we were damn close. Over the weekend, I was thinking to myself, I think we're going to get to 7.
Actually, I need to go back, because the technicality was that last Friday I was supposed to be off, and I was off, because I was going to Syracuse for my little sister's graduation.
That's right.
But the day game covered the entire length of our show, so there actually was no show Friday. So technically I did not miss work.
I think it's a freebie. I think that's a freebie. I give that one to you.
So then I think we might have tied 7.
It's a day that never happened, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, 7 it is.
So 7 is still the record.
So
it's very exciting.
Joe Madden very clearly is completely cool with the gambling environment in which they exist and apparently have existed, as far as he's concerned.
Joe is my spirit animal on this stuff.
He's your guy, right?
Oh, my God. I miss talking to him, because Joe just has takes. Like, I really should ask Joe to come in one of these days when Mac is off, because that guy could fill some time with some thoughts. He's just practical about it. And I don't see much downside to the ruling for anyone, leagues, players, fans, consumers, media. Like, I don't really see any downside to it, but I'm definitely pro gambling, so I'll admit my bias on that one. But I love just the pragmatic approach that Joe's taking to it. There's $100 billion, based on estimation, gambled illegally on sports. Football, college sports, baseball, basketball, whatever. We didn't have integrity problems then. We won't have integrity problems now that it gets more regulation and, like, obviously legal. So there's not going to be problems that arise from this. There'll be changes. There'll be differences. There might be hiccups along the way.
Oh, I think so.
But there are not going to be, like, mass corruption because it's now all of a sudden legal.
Don't tell Joe West.
I know he's wrong.
Joe West is worried.
He's worried about the leg breakers running on the field and attacking players.
Worried about
angry,
my guys. Right? I'm worried about my guys in the umpiring room.
It's such a straw man.
I know.
Here's the thing.
Know.
What's the biggest sports gambling controversy of any of our lifetimes? And obviously, Dan, you're of a different generation than Connor and I, but I believe the answer to this is the same, regardless of our generations.
The biggest sports gambling controversy?
Yes, scandal.
of my lifetime? Because, I mean, obviously the biggest one is the 1919 World Series.
Correct.
Right? Throwing a World Series.
Pete Rose being banned.
Pete Rose, the Donaghy stuff.
The Donaghy stuff.
Yeah.
To me, right? That is fixing games, NBA referee.
It's a problem.
Playoff games, guys incarcerated. That is the biggest gambling sports scandal of our lifetime.
Well, we've had two Northwestern point shaving scandals, you know, football and basketball. There was the Arizona State, was it Stevin Smith? Stephen Headache Smith, part of a point-shaving scandal at Arizona State.
There's been some college ones.
St. John's.
Right. And the other big one would be CCNY in the 50s. That was huge.
Correct. Predating you, right?
The 50s, numb nuts.
I just want to be sure I'm checking on you. Tim Donaghy, he gambled illegally. Like, go back and look at that stuff.
Sorry, now all I can think of is Dan at a sock hop in the 50s.
I don't know
horrifying.
How old, I don't know how old
I don't
he
want to
is.
Think about
I'm
it at
bad
all.
At, parents' generation.
I'm bad at math. But Tim Donaghy knew people from like grade school and high school where he grew up that ended up having loose ties to organized crime.
It was like Rounders. I remember reading that stuff and going, it's like it's him from Rounders. It's Ed Norton.
Right, like he knew Grandma. And he got on the hook for Grandma and he wasn't able to pay the VIG. And all of a sudden he's like, well, I am refereeing the Lakers-Kings game. Does that do anything for you?
Do you need any of this?
They're like, yes, it does.
In fact, it does.
And so why would we think that, like, if there's going to be some massive sports gambling, point-shaving, corruption scandal, that the people that are going to be executing that are like, I'm going to go to the Wynn. You know what I mean? I'm going to go to Caesar's Palace. I'm going to go to the place with all the cameras and all the regulations where you got to pay taxes on the wedding.
I'm going to use the app that's connected to my Facebook.
to my credit
no.
card. Well, like that's not what's going to happen.
And it's funny because I keep thinking, and this is something we were talking about with Daniel Wallach, I keep thinking eventually the league can be the house.
Yeah.
The league say, you don't get a cut of this. We're going to get all the money, and you're going to do this through us. And somebody brought up the idea, well, now you can't do instant replay. You can't show instant replay because now
You can't have the league decide
Right, the league is now going to be incentivized to make instant replay decisions based on its positions. And my response to that is no.
No, they won't.
You have to do it right. Otherwise, people aren't going to gamble there anymore.
Correct.
If they get the sense that something isn't on the up and up, real gamblers are going to want no part of it. It has to be regulated. It has to make sure, like people, if there's a belief that a casino is using loaded dice or marked cards or anything like that,
the thing dries up.
Right. Or if there's even a dealer that their word is getting around that something fishy is going on, that's death to your business.
They're in it for the long haul and they're in it for the commission, right? They're in it for the VIG.
Right.
Right. So if there's a spread on a game tonight, it's a pick 'em between the Cavs and the Celtics. Mm-hmm. So that's the easiest example possible. There is no spread. You want to bet on the Celtics, I want to bet on the Cavs. Whoever wins is the winner of the wager. You want to win $100 on the wager.
You bet $110.
You bet $110. Therefore, regardless of who wins the game, the book gets 10%. They get your $10. So even if in a scenario, the NBA is taking all of our legal sports wagers, and let's say more people bet on the Cavs than the Celtics. So in theory, for that one game, the league had an advantageous position or an incentive to root for the Celtics to win the game. They're not going to risk every future NBA wager ever for the compromising integrity of the one game for the Celtics. It's not possible.
No,
it's not a realistic scenario.
And it's also all going to be intelligently hedged by a team of MBAs. The line is also going to move. I mean, you're talking about quants here. You're talking about Ivy League level quants.
Summon the nerds.
That's what we're talking about. It's not some guy in a back room at the Bada Bing. It's a boardroom.
Well, that
it's,
guy will
it's,
also be hired.
It's a nerve set. Yeah, that guy be hired and actually and legitimized.
Yes.
I was telling people at the Cubs game yesterday, all due respect to the Joe Ostrowskis of the world, the sports media gambling experts of the world, by far and away, the best person that I personally have ever heard talk about sports gambling is my boy Kid, because he's got a financial wizardry mind, right? Like he had these guys that he is friends with, trader types, engineering types, mathematicians, guys who can compute all of this stuff. Sports gambling is just a market. That's all it is.
Right.
It's just numbers, and it's just looking to exploit value. So people are like, wow, you know, Kid, you're a real degenerate. You gamble on tennis and golf. I'll gamble on anything where there's value.
How is that any different than somebody who is who's waking up at 3 in the morning to trade Russian oil?
That's my point. Right. It's not different at all.
Right.
They might both be in prison about 6 months ago.
But like, that's the thing, right? It's just exploiting a market. It's just looking for value. You can be long on a stock. You could be short on a stock. You could hedge a stock. You could do all sorts of... That's what over-unders are. That's what season-long win totals are. That's the whole thing for sports gambling, which is why I loved your point in your column, which is something that I've said for years about sports gambling, that even if you don't gamble, I don't care if you don't gamble. I do. You don't. It's fine. Reasonable minds can disagree. But if you don't want the information about gambling, I feel like you're going into a sporting event blind because there is a market that has been established somewhat by pros, by the sharp bettors mm-hmm. that have set a line for an expected outcome of a sporting event. It's an approximation, right? It's to get action on both sides. But they've got a decent idea that tonight's game between the Celtics and the Cavs is basically a coin flip. And they got a decent idea about how many points to expect in the game tonight. Though that's valuable information
data
established
is data.
By pros.
Right, regardless of the motivation to know some of these things, for me, I just find it interesting in probabilities and then seeing what actually happened and wondering why did it deviate or why was this a good prediction?
Sure.
How is it like I can't, and I mentioned this in the column too, I can't stand here clearly reveling in having won the statistical revolution. That's over. We know that the whole metric, non-metric, phony baloney battle, whatever that was, that's over in every single sport. And I can't be a guy who loves objective, detailed information and also be somebody who is rejecting the way gamblers are trying to make their predictions and determine likelihoods. It's the same thing. When the algorithm comes up with a range of possibilities for a player's given performance based on previous performance and projection of similar players, that is no different than what other models are doing to find these market inequities.
Correct. That's all it is. It's just a set of numbers. And like, I'm not even going to say I'm not some expert on it, right? I'm a losing sports gambler. I do it for the action, the fun, the incentive to watch it or whatever. To me, it's like an entertainment tax for me. This is money that I can afford to lose. It makes the games that we watch a little bit more enjoyable. It's good old clean, harmless fun. That's all it is for me. But for a lot of people, it's a lot more. And I think this is going to be good for everybody.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the moral turpitude of sports gambling. I'm not worried about...
Moral fiber. I invented moral fiber.
I'm not worried about any of that stuff, really. And if those issues pop up, they will happen the one time, and then they will never happen again. Or if they do, it'll be another real long time before it happens again. That's what we've seen in the past. That's how markets have kind of dictated themselves. I have more worry about this actual infrastructure being built and by whom it's going to be built and all these hands along the way wanting a piece of the VIG like we're talking about. And I don't know. I'm not going to necessarily just trust my legislatures to create the best and most meaningful sports betting laws on the books for me.
You're not going to trust Illinois politicians?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen them go the wrong way when they should have zigged or zagged one way or another. There's going to be leagues that get involved in this. I think we're in for more bumps than we're imagining, we're allowing for early on.
It's a gold rush. There's going to be charlatans. There are going to be
snake oil salesmen.
Con men. That's what happens in a gold rush.
Of course. Yes. So.
That's what's going on. I love this texture. Are odds makers using analytics?
Oh, God, yes.
What do you think their job is?
Oh, yes. My God, yes.
That's their job.
The lines come out instantly. Most of the time, they don't move all that much.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty good at setting markets. They're pretty good at it. It's a remarkable thing. One of those politicians, by the way, Illinois State Senator and the chairman of the gaming committee for Illinois, Steve Stottleman.
My guy!
Cool.
It's your guy?
Yeah, we used to play pickup football together.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't know when he's joining the show. It'll be sometime after 3 o'clock.
But darn good athlete, too.
Yeah, well, so he knows sports. I know he's interested in a casino in Rockford, and that's part of his personal jurisdiction's interest in this. But I'm looking forward to talking to him because I got a lot of those same questions, Connor.
Yeah.
And Will it just be at horse tracks? Will it be at horse tracks and casinos? Will it be in kiosks in the stadium? What's the age verification process? How much money are you estimating is going to come from this?
Bet maximums.
Can I buy a bet maximums? What about college sports? Can I get it where I get lottery tickets? Can I get it at 7-Elevens?
And one thing to ask Steve about is because the state line area, there have been issues too about regarding what could happen in Beloit, that there would be people you could, the border being right there, if Wisconsin does something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's one of those areas where Rockford knows that the time is of the essence, because if they can get things done properly, they'll be pulling people in rather than losing people the other direction.
Just to take a right turn here, I wanted to talk to you about an observation you made during the NBA playoffs last night about James Harden and how he is not aesthetically pleasing to you.
I can't do it. I don't know what it is.
A lot of people say that, and I think I do know what it is. It's that he has gamed the system in a way to get fouled so much that it's herky jerky.
That's part of it.
He gets fouled in the backcourt more than anybody. He gets fouled on three pointers more than anybody. Like there's a little bit of Bush League cheapness to his game.
That's part of it. It's also literally the way it looks. When I use the word aesthetic, I mean it. I mean, like I have stood in front of how many Picassos? His paintings, his sculptures.
It's a really elitist statement.
You name
it.
I've stood.
I have Googled Picasso seven or eight times.
All over the world, in Guernica or whatever you want to say. And it doesn't hit me. It doesn't work. I appreciate it and I respect it, but I don't find it beautiful, I guess, for lack of a better. And I said the same thing with Radiohead. I get it, but I don't get it. I understand that they're considered great and they're visionary artists, but it doesn't sound good to me.
Right. What I marvel about with Harden is two things, really. The efficiency at which he can score. Like, he really is an unstoppable one-on-one basketball player.
Yep.
Like, he's pretty much unguardable. He can finish at the rim. He can hit every shot. And then for the vast majority of our lifetime watching basketball, the step back contested three is like the worst shot you could possibly take, right? It's as far away as you'll possibly shoot. You're being guarded by someone and you're not going into your shooting form.
Coaches are screaming at you while you're taking it.
You're backing away from it. And with James Harden, legitimately, the step back three is a positive EV shot, positive expected value proposition. Like if one of these games is close and it comes down to James Harden attempting a step back three over Kevin Durant, we can't say it's a bad shot because it's James Harden that is taking it. And that, I don't think any player in the history of the sport you could say it about. So I marvel at that.
Other than the Dirk Nowitzki one leg step back.
With the other one out toward the other guy's groin, just like kicking away.
Like the fadeaway is a little different than the step back. Like he,
especially if you're 7 foot.
Right. You can shoot over people. I don't know how he did it. And he kind of did it just over hard work and a couple of years. And so I get what you're saying. It's not as aesthetically pleasing as Durant or LeBron or Steph or Embiid even.
I appreciate it, but it's not pretty.
To me, the only thing that weirds me out about Harden's game is the socks. He's wearing the wrong socks. Look at the socks next time around. There's this old pair of tube socks that's been rolled up. It's not the right. They look weird. They're bad socks. He's got to get better socks.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Look at him. Right, look at him. Next time you look, this is like when Dan McNeil told me to listen to the way Phil Simms says Denver. It's changed my life forever.
Oh, you can't unsee it.
Can't unhear it. Look at Harden's socks next time. It's the wrong socks.
Okay. I like it.
There look you at me it. Like I'm crazy. It's the wrong socks.
I mean, I'm just looking at you like I look at you, which is like you're crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Do you think that series is going long?
Six at the most.
Six at the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a tough loss for Houston last night, but, man, they can score. Like, I think they can win in Golden State just like Golden State won.
Yeah, I mean, you promised me that Kevin Durant's going to make everything he looks at for the vast majority of the series.
But Steph was bad.
Steph was bad.
And they still won.
Yeah,
and
I'm maybe not hurt. Convinced That's that the thing. Steph's at 100.
Yeah, right. And he might be hurt.
But doesn't everybody say that come playoff time only when he's bad? And I agree with you.
He was moving around, grabbing at his knee. I mean, I saw. Yeah, I know. I'm just, if he's not there, then it's got to look like it looked like last night.
Yeah.
Every time.
I know. But just, this keeps coming up for Steph. And I'm not saying it's completely made up because, yeah, he's grabbing his knee and he looks slow. But it's like, whenever Steph struggles in the playoffs, we're like, oh, Steph's now hurt.
Shaking it a little bit.
I'm like, really? That wasn't a storyline 5 days ago that Steph Curry's hurt. Now he's hurt. I don't know how that happened. But what are the Bulls going to get tonight? Sixth pick? Seventh pick? What do we think?
Probably six, I think, depending on whatever Michael Reinsdorf brought with him as his lucky talisman, whether or not it can come through.
You saw the original Lil Penny doll is coming tonight
for
the Magic? Kind of rude for the Magic.
Did you see who's representing the Atlanta Hawks?
I read the list, but I forgot.
No. Jamie Gertz.
Jamie Gertz?
The actor.
Why?
Because she's married to the owner. Apparently.
I didn't know who she was either at all. She's in Twister, which was on last night.
Or maybe she is the owner, because some of these ownership stakes are in the wife's name for tax reasons.
I did the wiki thing. I think she's part owner.
She might be an owner, because a lot of these, the tax advantage of having it in the spouse's name is multi-million dollar.
You cannot convict a husband and a wife for the same crime.
There's always just such terrible lawyers. There's such awkwardness at the draft lottery.
I love it.
Every year. Whether it's like the internet ogling like a daughter of an owner.
Yes. Real weird.
Handshakes. Like
really weird.
I don't remember one that's happened and it's just been like, oh yeah, it was a normal television broadcast.
They really should urge teams to send the weirdest possible representative.
Yes, 100%. Right. The Lopez twins should both be there from the perspective
of it has to be like the homeless person that lives closest to your offices.
Here's Phil. Right. He's out here again.
Right. Emaciated street Yanni is there representing the Chicago. You're like,
that was your impression of the guy.
Just, you know, it's odd.
Yeah.
We should make this into a freak show because it already is kind of like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're already doing a pretty good job of awkward television. I'm mad that it's going to happen before I can get home.
Yeah, it should be like either local homeless people or your super hot daughters.
Perfect.
Or both.
Yeah, absolutely. Or a combination
you
of
match
two.
Them up together.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I got a busy show.
I know you do.
Albert Almora at 2.
Cool.
Will Perdue in studio. The state senator with the gambling bill at some point during the show, and Dan Carcillo, who's got a hell of a story
awesome.
To tell.
Yeah, it's fascinating. He's actually going to be, he says he's going to donate his brain before he dies, which I think is really...
That's gutsy.
Yeah, that's gutsy.
Yes. Well, he's pledged to donate his brain. He did that before.
No, I think he's doing it next week.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll ask her about it.
It's scheduled.
We're going to break that story.
Unless I misread it, he's going to be the first former athlete to actually donate his brain before he's dead.
I think you misread it.
Okay.
We'll talk to him at 4 coming up. It's McNeil and Parker's on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.